Passage of scripture, but we're moving on from that, and we are going to go to verse number 8. And so I want you to take your Bibles, get over to 2 Kings chapter number 6, and we'll begin reading in verse number 8. We'll read down through verse number 23, and you can follow along with me and read with me, all right? Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. So just so we know, this thing is going on multiple times. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how many times the king came against, the king of Syria came against Israel. But the Bible tells us that, the king of Israel was saved by the word of the man of God on multiple occasions, not once or twice. It was more than that. All right. So the Bible says this, therefore the heart of the king of Assyria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? He answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. When they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. I'm going to stop right there and I'm going to say, I wish I had this right here. I have tried, but God just won't do it. And I don't know what it was about Elisha, but I want this. I want this superpower. Somebody say amen. And hey, isn't it something to read about these men of God? And you have to understand that these prophets were the word of God. They were the mouthpiece of God. They're not to be acquainted with the preacher, although there is definitely a relationship and a correlation between the preacher and the prophets of old. Do not mistaken and think that some, as some teach, that the preacher is set up as Elisha and Elijah was. Because I can tell you, and I can attest to this, if that was the case, Paul wouldn't have went through near the trouble that he did. Okay, I need somebody to say amen. So you need to understand there's a completely different ministry of the prophet in the Old Testament and the preacher of the New Testament or the present church age. And I've heard a lot. I've been in churches all my life, and I've heard them preachers get up there and try to talk to the congregation and tell them, you better be careful how you deal with the man of God. God will do this to you, and God will do that to you. And man, I'm going to tell you what, if Elisha was still here, then yes, you'd have to worry about it, but it's just Robbie, all right? And I can tell you, people have run their mouth about me and nothing happened. I kind of wish I had some of these powers. But God said, no, you will abuse it. God knows me. There's two things God won't do. God won't ever give me power enough to be calling curses on people because he knows me. And he won't ever let me win the lottery or any kind of millionaire or anything like that because he knows me. He knows if I ever come across a couple $1 million, y'all on your own. I'll just tell y'all right now, we retiring early. Me and mama go have some fun. Is everybody all right? In the name of Jesus, we'll start a Facebook ministry. I'll get back on Facebook just so I can serve the Lord from home. All right, verse number 19. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way. Now remember, they're blind. They come down to take Elijah, this host, this army. They come down to take Elijah, and Elijah prays out to God, and he says, give them blindness, smite them with blindness. And God does that. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. Now, some people say that Elisha lied to them, but he didn't, because he went with them, and he was there when they opened their eyes, all right? Is everybody with me? Semantics, technicalities, don't get caught up on all of that, all right? But he took them. This is a pretty funny story. They all come to get him, and he asks, he prays, and he asks God to smote them with blindness, and they're all blind, and Elijah says, hey, I know where the guy is you're looking for. Follow me, all right? Now, their blindness wasn't a total blindness, all right? It was just God blinded their sight to who Elisha was. And God does that. In Scripture, we have proof of that. If you'll remember in Luke chapter number 24, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they did not know that they were walking with Jesus until Jesus opened their eyes. Their eyes were open when he broke bread with them and they knew who he was. All right. So their eyes were holding that they should not know him. In Luke chapter number 24, the same thing is happening with these soldiers, and Elisha takes the opportunity to lead them to the king of Israel, which is in Samaria, and he takes this entire army, marches it right into Samaria, right into captivity, if you will. And the king, verse number 21, and the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Hey, he got excited. Hey, can I kill them? That's what he's saying, all right? Hey, is that what you want me to do? Did you bring him here so I could kill him? And this is kind of this is a kind of a confusing thing to me, but this is what he says. And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Weird, right? And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. And so whatever the reasoning behind Elisha giving them food and water and everything else, it worked for a greater purpose. The Bible here tells us that these Syrian armies and bands were coming into Israel and they were attacking Israel over and over and over again. And at least for a moment, Elisha stops it, not by violence, but by being good to somebody. And anyhow, that's another sermon. Y'all are happy, ain't you? Because y'all are like, hey, look here, if this is another sermon about me being nice to my enemy, I can't take it, all right? But I want to look at this thought tonight of open my eyes. Open my eyes. In this story, there is a servant. Now, this is not Gehazi, because Gehazi at this time is a leper. He's a leper because back in 2 Kings chapter number 5, the Syrian king sends Naaman to the land of Israel to be healed of his leprosy. And wouldn't you know it, Naaman comes to Elisha, and Elisha tells him to go, and well, Elisha didn't tell him, Elisha sent a servant out and told him to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River, and he would be healed of his leprosy. And old Naaman got mad. He was very angry about that because he thought it was supposed to be a big show and the man of God was supposed to come out and say this or that and strike his hands over the place and recover the leper. But that is not how Elisha knew the pride of this man, and this man had to humble himself, and he had to go and obey the word of the man of God and dip seven times in this river Jordan. His servant said to him, he said, Master, if he would have asked you to go and do a great thing, you would have done it. So why not go and dip seven times in the river? So eventually he did, and the Bible says that his skin became as a newborn babe. I mean, this man, he found the fountain of youth. Somebody say amen. But Gehazi seen an opportunity. Naaman tried to offer money to Elisha, and Elisha said, no, we'll have none of it. Up until this point, every person that God put in the life of Naaman, the little servant girl, the maiden that had told him about Elisha, and then Elisha himself had refrained from taking any money or any profit. They had just doing the work of the Lord. But Gehazi, he had a greedy bone in him. And so he went, he said, hey, look here. My master said he'll take that money that you didn't offer, that you offered, and he wouldn't take a while ago. He's changed his mind. And so he took money, and of course, God revealed it to the man of God, and the same leprosy that Naaman had came on Gehazi. So now Elisha's got him a new servant. In chapter number 6, Elisha is now being hunted, not so he can recover somebody from leprosy, but in this chapter, he's being hunted so he can be eliminated by the same army. Are y'all hearing me? By the same army that he just recovered their captain of their leprosy. Now, that's another story, and we won't get in that tonight. But as this is taking place and transpiring, this servant of Elisha comes outside, and the host of this army has completely circled the city of Dothan. And this man looks and fear comes over him. How many of you ever been there? I'm going to need more than three people to act like y'all. I know y'all got fear because something goes wrong in y'all's house and all of a sudden you calling me because you got fear. God, I need you to pray. I need this. I need that. We all deal with it. All right. This man seen the problem. And the problem was so big that he missed the God that could deliver him. And how many times do we do the same thing? So Elisha's prayer for this man was, open his eyes that he may see. I want to talk to us just for a few moments on that subject, if you'll let me. I want you to look at a few things with me in Scripture before we get to that. I want you to notice the truth about Satan. All right. As we look at this, I want you to notice the truth about Satan. We're going to take the king of Syria tonight, and we're going to treat him as if he is our adversary. We're going to treat him as if he is our enemy. And no matter what is going on in our life, know this. The Bible says about this king of Syria that he warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. As we look at this passage of Scripture, I want you to notice some truth about Satan. His intentions are to eliminate you and I. His intentions are to take us out. As you look at this passage of Scripture, Elisha is being nothing more than a good citizen in the country that he is living in. He is not for King Jehoram. He is for Israel. He is not for the kings that have gone on before him, King Ahab and all those that his predecessor Elijah fought, but he is for Israel. He is for the people of God, and he represents the people of God, and therefore Satan hates him. I need somebody to help me right here. Satan hates him. The Bible says that this king of Syria warred against Israel. And can I say this? Our enemy hates us, and he will continually war against us. If you're doing anything for God, you can go ahead and mark it down that trouble is a coming. You can mark it down that there is an attack that you will have to face. Why? Because Satan does not like for somebody to serve God in a capacity that affects others. And therefore, he will do everything he can to affect you. The truth about Satan, his intentions, don't think for one minute that Satan's just going to leave you alone because you've seen some movie and some movie told you that all you have to do is rebuke him and tell him to get out of your house. Is everybody all right? Man, I tell you what, I remember that movie come out, that little old woman praying, and I thank God she's a prayer warrior. But boy, that has done more to damage people. They think that they have some power over Satan. You need to understand something. Satan has some power. God has given him some power. He doesn't have all power, but he's been given some power. And you and I are no match for him. We're to resist him. We're to turn to God. The Bible says, and he'll flee from us. But listen, you and I need to know that we have a real adversary. I think a lot of Christians go through life and they want to put a name and a face on everybody that comes against them, but that ain't who you got to worry about. We battle spiritual warfare, not a physical warfare. Somebody say amen. We ain't wielding swords and shields and everything else, but you and I do fight a real battle against evil every single day of our life. And there is nothing more that Satan wants to do. His intentions are to eliminate you, to take you out of the fight so he can have his way in the people that you affect. The truth about Satan, his intentions are to destroy you. His persistence, he doesn't quit. The Bible tells us in verse number 10 that the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of and saved himself there not once nor twice, but over and over again this king of Syria came against the king of Israel over and over. We don't know how many times. We know that it was more than twice. And over again, can I say this? Just because you have had a victory against Satan in your life doesn't mean that he's through knocking on your door. Just because things have gone your way before doesn't mean that Satan just says, you know what? This is the strongest Christian I've come against. I think I'm just going to go back. I'm just going to go back and walk to and fro in the middle. Is everybody all right? Hey, I need somebody to help me. I don't know about you, but I prayed many a time, God, don't send Satan my way. I'm not Job. I know that. I need somebody else beside Brother Frank to help me right here. I know that's right. Yeah, you and I ain't no great Christians. Come on, y'all, help me now. Yeah, let's just get honest about it. We ain't no great Christians. Hey, and so he will be persistent in his attacks, trying to get you and I to eliminate us. So the truth about Satan, you need to know. His intentions are to harm you. His intentions are to destroy you. His intentions are to eliminate you. And his persistence, he's not going to quit. Matthew chapter number 4 tells us that Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan. The same passage of scripture, the same story is found in Luke chapter number 4. And in Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 13, after the end of it all, the Bible says this, that Satan left him for a season. In other words, that wasn't the last time that Jesus was tempted by Satan. And if he'll come after the Savior, I need somebody, y'all gonna have to help me. Understand this, if he'll come after him more than once, then don't think for one second that you just got one major battle to make it through in your life and everything's gonna be alright. The truth about Satan is, he has bad intentions for you, and he's very persistent. I want you to notice the tactics of his strike. I want you to notice the tactics of his strike. You may not understand what's happening here, so I want to explain it. Let's go back to verse number 8 if we can. Is that Miss Tracy up there? Let's go back to verse number 8 if we can. The Bible says, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a such place shall be my camp. This is what the king of Syria, this is Satan's tactics, but we see them in the king of Syria. He was going and his intentions were to ambush, to set a trap. His intentions were to ambush the army of Israel and the king of Israel. Y'all need to understand this. Why? Because he still uses the same tactics today. See, Satan doesn't come after you in all his glory, and he doesn't come after you all revealing and manifested to where you can see it all happening. He hides in places in front of you, and he lays traps for you and I to step into. I need somebody to help me. And there has been many a Christian that was going their way and just lollying along, and all of a sudden, bam, they were caught in one of his traps. Why? Will y'all give me some liberty to say this and not get mad? Because they didn't listen to the man of God. Oh, don't get mad at the preacher, all right? But here was this man's, the king of Israel's saving grace was Elisha. Elisha, the man whose name means Jehovah is my salvation. This man, Elisha, was made known. It was revealed to him the plans of Satan, or the king of Syria in this case. And he constantly told the man or the king of Israel, hey, you better be careful going down here. You better be careful going down there. Don't find yourself going over there. Watch out. Don't go that way, but you go that way, because Satan has laid a trap over here and Satan has laid a trap over there, and he is just waiting for you to step off into it. Sounds like a preacher, don't it? Oh, I need somebody to help me. I've stood up here and preached my guts out, begging you to beware of the people that you hang out with. And yet I've got people that I love with all my heart that I hadn't seen in church since all this COVID crap started, because they hung around with the wrong people. Satan has set a trap and they're in the middle of it. They don't even realize they're caught. They think life is just going to go on and everything's going to be fine. They don't realize that right now their life is being destroyed because they ignored an instruction and ended up in a trap. Satan's subtle. He's subtle. He's subtle. He'll use those that are closest to you to walk you right into a trap. He'll use those that you think love you and have good intentions for you, but he'll use them to walk you. I need somebody to help me. That's his tactic. The king of Syria is showing us how Satan works. He works to ambush us. God's showing us the defense that we have, and that's a man of God preaching the word of God. Thus saith the Lord. Because it wasn't Elijah that had all this figured out. It was God who was letting Elijah know every step of the way. And all Elijah was doing was telling the king of Israel what God said. He sets ambushes. How about this? He sends spies. The Bible says this in verse number 13. And he said, go and spy where he is. Can I say this? Hey, y'all listen to me. Not only does Satan use people that are close to you, but he will send people to get close to you. Oh, I need somebody to help me. Not only will he ambush you with people that you're close with, Jesse, but he'll send people into your life for the sole purpose of leading you into a trap. Oh, he sent him over there. He said, hey, go find out where he's at. Come tell me all I need to know. The more information that I can gather, the easier this attack will be. Is everybody all right? And then lastly, not only does he set ambushes and he sends spies, but he seeks to overwhelm. Now listen to what he does right here, all right? The Bible says, and he was told, behold, he is in Dothan. And then verse number 14, therefore he sent thither horses and chariots and a great host. Who's he going after? God, come on, help me. Who's he going after? Elisha. Elisha. Not Elijah, not the one that called down fire and get people killed. Elisha, the one that says, oh, we're going to feed them and take care of them and then send them back over to the master. I'm not thinking Elisha was the same temperament of Elijah. I need somebody to help me. I think Elijah was a little bit more calm. He was a little bit nicer. Matter of fact, he's a picture of salvation in our Bible. And I think that he was a little bit meek, even though he was powerful enough to do all those things. This man was one that was meek. He was one that probably most represented Jesus of the two of them. Elijah was judgment, but Elisha was salvation. And Satan says, the king of Syria says, I'm going to send horsemen, I'm going to send chariots, and a great host to go get the army of Elisha, him and his servant. Is everybody all right? Tell me that ain't, is that a little bit of overkill? I mean, I don't know how many soldiers this king sent, but they compassed the whole city. We ain't talking about they surrounded the building. I'm going to go over here and say that. We ain't talking about they surrounded the building that he was in, Ms. Logan. The Bible says that they compassed the whole city. And so when the servant came out, he was like, whoa. I need somebody to help me. Oh, he was like, whoa. This ain't no... Elisha! Can you hear him running back in? See, the Bible don't even... Hey, you got to get in the story, man. He probably come in and sound like a girl. Elisha! He said to him, alas, my master, how shall we do? You know what he's saying? What are we going to do? He didn't just send one to get us. He didn't just send a horseman to get us. He didn't just send those in the chariot to get us. He didn't just send a marching army. He sent all of Syria against us. They're all the way, hey, Elisha, they're all the way around the city. Every gate, they got it covered. Elisha, I don't know what we're going to do, but Elisha, we got to do something. Right? Y'all help me now. I wrote down some things that the servant missed. We see the problem he observed, it was overwhelming. That was the last of point number two. This is how Satan attacks us. He overwhelms us. He brings so much against us that it seems like it's impossible to overcome. I need somebody to help me who's been there. I need somebody to help me that's been in the floor, laying in the floor saying, God, I can't do this. God, I can't get past this enemy. You wouldn't be the first Christian that's laid in the floor and cried not knowing what you were going to do. Because Satan has overwhelmed us. There's no need for you to be embarrassed if you've ever had that situation in your life where you say, God, I turn to my left and no man's there. I turn to my right and there's no man would have me. God, I'm all alone. Everybody's left me and I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. Where the servant was at. And I'll be honest with you, I think this is where most Christians are when problems come against us. I mean, come on, y'all, think about it. How many times do we get all bent out of shape over something that later we look back on and say, Why was I even worried about that? It's because so often our eyes are closed to the spiritual aspect of our battle. And we're focused in on the physical aspect of it. We get so wrapped up in the problem that we miss the God who is big enough to deliver us from it. This servant is a picture of you and I, and how we get overwhelmed in circumstances and don't see what's really going on. I want you to notice I wrote down a few things that he didn't consider. He didn't consider the past deliverances of Israel. Now, I ain't talking about going back in history. I'm talking about just in the story we read. Over and over again, God reveals to Elisha where the enemy is going to be and how to avoid them. And yet, this servant thinks that all of a sudden, God is caught by surprise and didn't know what the king of Syria was up to. Y'all going to have to help me. I mean, really, let's think about it. This man, he had over and over again revealed to the king of Israel that, hey, sir, there's no need to worry. Just don't go to that city. The king of Syria is over there. Don't go to that city. The king of Syria. He has laid out the plans of the king of Syria over and over and over again. And all of a sudden, when the king of Syria is after him, he forgets that God is able. Oh, hey, he forgets all of a sudden that, hey, that same delivering God who delivered the king of Israel is able to deliver you. He missed out on the power of Elisha. Man, Elisha was a miracle prophet. He'd seen Elisha do all kind of things. I mean, he'd seen Elijah. Is everybody all right? He'd seen Elijah make iron to swim right here in the beginning of chapter number 6. I mean, Elijah, he had something about him. God was on that boy. I need somebody to help me. But he missed out on it because his eyes were so much focused on his problem that he didn't even realize, hey, they ain't fooled God. They ain't got past this man of God, Elijah. He missed out on the promises of God. I said, how did he do that, preacher? Well, David had already come and gone by this time. We're already into the divided kingdom. The united kingdom of Saul and David and Solomon has already taken place years before, and now the kingdom is divided. And what I'm trying to tell you is that the Psalms and the writings of David are in existence. And Elisha, being the man that he is, earlier in chapter number 6, that making iron to swim was so that they could build bigger facilities for the sons of the prophets. The school that Elisha, y'all ain't getting this, but I'm getting it, all right? And it's helping me, all right? The school that Elisha was over, where Elisha taught them the word of God, where Elijah taught them the words of David that says, though 10,000 may come against me, God will deliver me. How about in Psalm chapter number 34, where it says, David says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him from them all. Oh, I need somebody to help me. He missed out on the promises of God. He had the word of God and some promises in the word of God, but he missed them because he was so focused on the problem that he missed the promises. Listen, Satan's attacks are real. He's intentional. He wants to harm you. He wants to destroy you, and he is very persistent. He has tactics that he uses, and God has revealed them to us in his word. But you and I will live in constant fear if all we do is focus on the physical and miss the spiritual aspect of things. So how does Elisha help this man? Lord, I pray you, open his eyes that he may see. You know what? If you and I probably won't even preach the last point because this is so good. You ain't got to like it. If you and I looked through spiritual eyes more than we did the physical eyes, the problems you and I encounter wouldn't seem near so big and near so problematic. We need the right, come on now, we need the right vision. We need the right vision. We need to stop looking at everything and our surroundings and saying, oh my word, how are we going to do this? And we need to start looking at it and say, now God, what you going to do about this? God, I'm interested in how you going to handle this one. God, it's sure, I'm going to sit over here, God, while you take care of this. How about this one? God, you handle the light work. The triumph. Lastly, I wrote the truth about Satan, the tactics of his strike. Number two, the tactics of his strike. Number three, the trembling of the servant. And number four, the triumph. Listen, for a season. The triumph for a season. Man, I wanted to preach this thing and tell you, oh, God defeats him and it's all good. And he did. But I want you to know something. Just for a season. Verse number 24, can you throw that up there? We read through 23. The Bible told us in verse number 23, it tells us, let me read it for you. It says, so the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. But in verse number 24, and it came to pass after this, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all its hosts and went up and besieged Samaria. So while victory come, listen, it wasn't but just a little while before another war and another battle shows up. I want you to know that God will give you victory. But I want you to know this, as I've said multiple times tonight, Satan ain't in the habit of giving up. So how do we go about it? Like Elijah did. The profession of Elisha. Elijah said in verse number 16, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. How did Elijah overcome it? Faith. Hey, fear not. I know there's 5,000 soldiers standing out there, but don't worry about it. Because a God who's with us, a lot bigger than that army that's out there against us. Is everybody listening to me? Now listen, the prayer of Elisha. He said, Lord, open the eyes of the servant. But he said, Lord, I want you to blind my enemy. We see the protection of Elisha. God did so, and Elisha protected these men, and he performed by giving these men, being good to those that were treating bad. I told y'all I wasn't going to do it, but I did it anyhow, right? I just snuck it in there at the end. But this is what I want you to know. I'm done. I'm through. The Bible mentions Dothan twice. Listen to me, everybody. Stay with me right here, and I'm done. If you get nothing else tonight, get this. We see a victory here where God delivers Elisha. We see God deliver Elisha in great power and great miracles right here in Dothan. God delivers Elisha. But there's another instance in Dothan. And you have to go back in Genesis. When you go back in Genesis, you find a young boy at the age of 17 that goes out looking for his brothers. His brothers are in Dothan. The Bible says that Joseph went to his brothers in Dothan. And there in Dothan, his brothers, they plotted against him. They took him captive, threw him in a pit, and he ended up as a slave. Listen, stay with me. So many times we look at these stories and we say, why did God deliver this one this way, and yet God didn't deliver this one. It doesn't make sense that God would deliver Elisha and a servant, a young servant here, the young man, and yet let a young man like Joseph be thrown in a pit and end up in slavery, end up in a prison. But here's what we miss in all of that. God has a purpose for his deliverance in the now. And even though, come on now, in the physical, it looks like Joseph got done wrong. But in the spiritual, Joseph said, "Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save much people alive." Stay with me. The same God that delivered Elisha in Dothan delivered Joseph too. The problem is how we perceive it. Joseph didn't miss it. Joseph said, it was a bad situation, but it was God's purpose all along. What am I trying to tell you is this: not all the time our deliverance goes as we would have it. But that doesn't mean God didn't deliver us. Woo! I need somebody to help me. But you'll only see that if your vision's right. God, open our eyes that we see you in everything. Open our eyes that we trust you with everything. Open our eyes so that we too can claim, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you tonight. God, I'm thankful, Lord, for this church, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I pray that you take tonight's message. Lord, as we go home, we go our separate ways. God, I pray that you take this message. Let it be a warning to us. Lord, there are attacks that are going to come our way. Satan is persistent, and he wants to destroy us. But God, may we know that you are a deliverer. God, I pray that you open our eyes, Lord, that we stop looking through the physical and living in fear, but Lord, that we look through the spiritual and live in power, God, knowing that you are able and trusting you with our lives, no matter if it's a pit or if it's deliverance. God, I pray, Lord, that we put our hearts, our minds, our lives in your hand, and you do with it as thou wilt.